Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm here tonight to speak to the council's obligation for transparency and accountability and the public's right to know. The city's chief financial officer, a long-term public servant, has been abruptly terminated. Reasons have been kind of standard boilerplate, HR. With all due respect, that is simply not good enough. A city manager cannot hide behind HR or personnel reasons to avoid answering to this council and to the citizens who fund this municipality.
Well, local busybody, founder of the Pitchfork Posse, Pam Mitchell, has shown up at the city council meeting, and she's had enough. There's something going on and with the CFO, Curtis Krebs, and she's not getting the answers that she demands as a citizen, and so she's gonna tell city council all about it.
Council members do not directly manage personnel decisions, the hiring or the firing, but you do possess the explicit authority and the moral obligation to conduct inquiries and investigations into city affairs.
You all can get to the bottom of this, and you need to do your job.
When the head of our city finances is removed after years of service, it is a matter of profound public interest.
Not one profound, two profound public interests.
Trust in local government is built on transparency, not on silence. We deserve to know why the CFO was removed.
Tell us.
I ask this council to uphold your obligation to the citizens of this community. Exercise your elected authority, why the citizens put you here, and demand the clarity and accountability that all of us deserve.
All right, John, you've worked in business a couple of times.
Right.
Before in your adult life. When there are personnel matters in a company or a government, what's the most common thing in the world to say about them? Nothing. Right? Can't right. tell you. It's a personnel matter. What's the most normal thing is to say, we can't go into a lot of details.
It's a personnel matter.
It's a personnel matter. Right. What if it's not even where somebody's actually been terminated? What if it's just, hey, we've got some information that we're trying to figure out what's going on, and somebody's been put on administrative leave, not because anything really wrong has happened, but because we're not quite sure what's happened. Do you say more under those circumstances or even less under those circumstances?
Oh, even less.
Nothing! Because you don't know anything! Do not let that normal operating procedure influence whether the founding captain and co-captain of the Pitchfork Posse will come to the work session of this Milton City Council before the city manager's had a chance to say anything, before the city council's had a chance to say anything, before any press release has been sent, before any information has been disseminated to the public, and you get up there and tell them what's what based on what you've been told. By whom, though? Because if, indeed, it is a very, 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 if she can do two profounds, I can do four varies, preliminary personnel matter, then what would you tell the public? Nothing. What might you tell the city council members? Enough to know what's going on. What might Some of them apparently turn around and tell their friends in the Pitchfork Posse or perhaps select members of the media that they would like to leak a story to for political value. So who would those members of city council be? Oh, did I say out loud that it was a city council member who went to the public with this? Did I say that it was theoretically the besties of the Pitchfork Posse, which I don't know, but could have been Mike Cusack, could have been Heather Lindsay, could have been Marilyn Farrell. Those would be your most likely suspects, but I don't know whether any of them did. Mike Cusack would later deny it after a lot of other really silly things he did. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. I said the captain and the co-captain, right, founding members of the Pitchfork Posse. Never one to be outdone by letting somebody else speak first. Jerry Cooey.
We're looking to you to make sure that that happens. And just so the general public understands, the city manager had the authority.
By the way, I love the... Look, I'm friends with Jerry, but I love the pretentious, let me explain to the public who doesn't show up enough to know what's really going on. Let me tell them what they should know, and because I'm here for you. The city council and the city manager won't tell you what's going on, but let me give the context for you.
And just so the general public understands, the city manager had the authority to fire Mr. Krebs. The city council did not. The city council, however, does have the authority to fire the city manager or the attorney. So I just want to put that out there.
Did somebody actually get fired? By the way, the answer to that is no. did somebody get let go, terminated, downsized, you know, laid off? No. Did somebody get temporarily put on administrative leave while they do their investigation? Not even an investigation, while they answer the question that the auditor has raised during the normal routine practice of the annual. Well, that's actually true, yeah. But, you know, again, because you haven't bothered to let the city manager say anything, because you've trusted the grapevine that gave you whatever information was only given to senior staff and the city council. So who told you what was going on?
I'll take it a little bit further, Madam Mayor. I would like the city manager to have an opportunity to explain why Mr. Krebs was removed, and I'll wait for that response.
You give it now.
You mean right now?
Yes.
Well, normally we don't have a question and answer session during public input. What I would ask is that Mr. Spears consult with Mr. Adams and determine what response can be provided.
John Adams is the city attorney, by the way.
I think you should encourage your city manager to respond to press requests, which have... You know, if you're not going to respond to a press request, you at least pick up the phone and you say, no comment. Okay? That just digs the hole deeper. You want to talk about transparency, accountability, people trusting you? Well, that's how you kill trust pretty quick, by not responding, not being forthright.
How did Jerry and Pam know this was going on? How did they know that a member of the press had asked for comment? And how did they know that a member of the press was told no comment by Ed Spears, the city manager, who's not supposed to comment on personal matters until you've got some resolution and data to tell anybody? How did he know that? Interesting.
So I don't think I'm the only person that views this as a very serious matter. And if there's
I view it as a semi-serious matter. The question itself is interesting. The handling of the question is super interesting.
And if there's a reason for the general public not to know, then that needs to be outlined, not next week. It needs to be outlined tonight.
Tonight. Got to tell me now. I'll wait. We'll use the rest of my time to stand here awkwardly while you tell me. All right. So that was in the, that was in the work session. And then also, that was kind of it, because it was just the work session. Then we get into the regular meeting, the actual city council meeting. And noted business expert, financial wizard, and general political guru who nobody questions ever about anything, even the Ethics Commission, after he was found to be in violation of ethics and had to pay a fine over it, Mike Cusack, city council member extraordinaire, not quite emeritus. He's still on. He's up for re-election. Well, let's go.
And I'm going to go into finance. I'm just going to address everybody else on the dais before I speak. Does anybody have any comments about or any questions about the current CFO situation that they'd like to talk about?
By the way, what would be the normal way to do this? Wouldn't it be to ask Ed Spears if he's got a comment? Because he's probably talked with the attorney, and he's probably got something prepared, and it's probably designed to answer the questions he can answer and not answer the questions he can't answer. Wouldn't that be the normal first thing to be like, or even to say in the, you know, earlier in the work session, hey, Ed, you want to talk now? You want to talk tonight? You want to talk both? What you want to do? Because he's the only one who really knows anything, and he's the one that briefed the members of the city council about it. So, no, we're just going to start with city council.
Thank you, Councilman Cusack. Marilyn, I just have one. I did speak to our city attorney today, and I understand that our city manager has a statement that he'll be reading in response to that. So whenever the appropriate time is for that, I would like to hear that.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's right. And you have to keep in mind, I don't know who talks to whom about what, okay? And I'm not alleging that there's sunshine violations. I think there have been in the past, based on the fact that public records were denied access or destroyed. But, you know, Marilyn Farrow, Heather Lindsay, and Mike Cusack are all kind of cut from the same cloth, and Pitchfork Posse, they're like the brand ambassadors, okay? So I don't know who talked. I don't know who's playing what side of what role. Like, you go in and be the bad cop, I'll be the good cop. I'm not saying that they talk to each other about that ahead of time. Just, you know, there's a lot of things, okay? So Marilyn Farrow says, I'd like to hear the statement. So would I. Well, no, Mike Cusack, no, we're not going to hear some statement. I'm going to ask my questions. I'm here. I'm Perry Mason. We're going to figure this out.
Mr. Spears, on the situation with the CFO, when did you first know there were some financial issues with that department?
Councilman, I first became aware of some concerns and needed additional information from our auditors on or about April 29th.
All right. So we've got, this is the meeting that was taking place on the 9th of June. So that's a month and a half, not quite.
So you knew there was an issue back on April 29th, correct?
No, I did not.
Well, you just said that.
I love how he answered the first question. When did you first find out? April 29th. So you knew there was a problem on April 29th. Nope.
So you knew there was an issue back on April 29th, correct?
No, I did not.
And I did not. I usually listen to my meetings. I don't watch them. I'm trying to picture Mike Cusack's face with, you know, the kind of like the conniption wrinkle eyebrow, like, no, what? Wait a minute.
Well, you just said that you were aware of the situation on April 29th.
The auditor requested some additional information on or about April 29th.
Oh, so you're saying that we don't know whether there's a problem. All we know is the auditor required additional information. Okay.
Okay, so when did you personally realize there was a problem with it then?
I called a staff meeting, a team together to assist our finance department on the 5th of May, and approximately 10 days after that is when I started getting some reports back.
So he still hasn't acknowledged that there even is a problem. He's just saying, well, this is kind of the timeline.
So basically you initiated an investigation on, first started it on April 29th, then May 5th, and then May 15th?
No, sir. There was no investigation that was ongoing.
No, you've described it wrong again.
No, sir. There was no investigation that was ongoing. There was a request for additional information from our auditor so they could conclude the annual audit, and I provided additional staff resources to the finance department to accomplish that task.
So no problem, no issue, no investigation, just a request for more information from the auditor, which is a very low-grade threshold to say, talk to senior staff and talk to city council that, hey, I just want to give you a heads up.
You personally haven't initiated any investigation in the situation, is that correct?
That's correct. Well, investigation is a very specific word.
Right.
I assign tasks to staff to assist the finance department with the needs of our auditors.
So when you knew there was a problem, did you notify the police chief that they put possible criminal action was taking place?
The police chief has been briefed, but we have no suspicion of any illegal activity at this time.
So you did know, when did you notify her?
Is chief still here?
No.
Monday.
Oh, just this past month. So yesterday.
Yes, sir.
When did you call the cops for what you don't even know was a crime and there's no money missing? And it's an amazing leap of logic. Oh, but we're just starting. You know me. Typically, there's not just one episode.
$1,000.
No,
or at least
bills
not one.
There's several scenes, and I there's so much. Really, there is. And we'll come back to this next hour. Don't worry. You know, we'll come back to it. I know John is eager to find out the resolution.
Yes.
You just have to wait. You just, it's
Andrew.
Let me let you rest assured that what's going on in Milton is fact-wise looks like the lowest of possible problems in grade, like kind of a ledger entry that wasn't maybe done right or that was done lazily or sloppily or something like that. We're not talking about malfeasance or misfeasance or fraud or theft or embezzlement or anything like that. At least it doesn't look like it. But we're still figuring it out. Nevertheless, Mike Cusack is eager to call the cops, ask for Ed Spears to step aside or step down, and Jerry Cooey's going to be eager to remind people that they can fire the, you know, city manager if they need to. It's Milton, so you know. You absolutely know that it's going to be just a whole lot of fun all the time. I'm Andrew McKay, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to work on your home, you need to do a repair, you need to do a remodel, you build things for a living, whatever the case may be, Pensacola Hardware is there for you, not just with the stuff. I mean, they have the stuff, okay? And they have good prices for the stuff. They also have the advice and the knowledge and the wisdom so that they can help you figure out the best way to solve the problem or even make sure that you're doing it safely, because sometimes, you know, they care about you. They care about the community. They care about you getting the result you want. And if they see you buying something and they want to make sure that you know how to use it safely, they'll ask, hey, have you ever done this before? No. Oh, okay. Well, here's some things you might want to know. Because it's not just they want to sell you the thing. They want to make sure you get the end result and safely. They care about you. If you're a construction professional, man, they're your people. They speak your language. You want to get a translator, they can put you on a monthly bill, ship things to the job site. You want to wait a day because they stock everything that you're going to need. And if it's a specialized product, they can order that for you. They do it all the time. For 175 years, Pensacola Hardware has been the place, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Please be advised. You may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, bean sprouts, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
Wait, what? I thought those were good for me.
Turns out, not for everyone. Because what's healthy for one person can cause inflammation for another. And the only way to really know what your body needs is to listen to it.
Listen how?
That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to understand what's happening inside you right now. When your results come in, you'll learn exactly which foods to eat, which to avoid, and which supplements are right for you. All based on the world's largest RNA-based human biology database and thousands of clinical research studies. And many people who use Viome report more energy, better digestion, and a better mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase. Viome. Trust your gut.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Tiramisu.
What is tiramisu?
You'll find out.
Good morning, 529 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We have a deal, apparently. Well, we have the... this is so funny. They didn't release the text of the deal. They read the deal out loud to the press. Isn't that weird? I mean...
What? They didn't give us text?
No. Apparently, I mean, I'm not in the room, but that's all the reports I've read were they read out the deal. They didn't give us the actual copy.
I hope they could type fast.
I don't know. It's so weird. 14 points. On this deal, and you know, it. I'm going to be cautious to give too much analysis of this until we. I mean, I don't really trust a readout. I'd rather, you know, be able to look at it, or at least, you know, look at the reporting of somebody who knows better and has looked at it. But it doesn't seem like the greatest deal ever. It seems largely like the JCPOA, you know, which is kind of unfortunate. It doesn't seem to solve a lot of issues. I don't know. There are a lot of details here, but generally speaking, the people who have been criticizing this as not being all that much better than the original deal that Obama get, it sort of looks that way. One key thing, there's no limit on their development of conventional military. That's the whole issue, I thought, was they could build a conventional shield to protect the development of the nuclear weapons. But, you know, like I said, I'm going to wait a little bit until we get details.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. and Iran sign a deal that marks the ceasefire extension, opens the Strait of Hormuz, and...
within this deal includes an immediate end to the war on all fronts, including Lebanon, respect to sovereignty and territorial integrity of Iran. The final deal must be reached within 60 days, but there is a possibility for an extension if those negotiations are going well.
That's Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. Oil at its lowest since March. AAA says the price of a gallon of regular gas is now under $4 nationally. The manhunt continues for other suspects linked to the alleged terror plot during Sunday's UFC event at the White House, while one person in custody will stand before a judge.
32-year-old in Missouri, that man, Daniel Eskridge, is set to appear in court today on conspiracy charges.
That is Fox's Chandley Painter reporting this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Of the Memorandum of Understanding. Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us here in just a few minutes. Well, Tropical Storm Arthur has now formed along the Texas coast. That's tracking northeast towards Louisiana, bringing in heavy rain and, of course, some flooding concerns as well across the Gulf Coast, including the Florida Panhandle. Now, the storm is packing about 40-mile-an-hour winds and, of course, could dump anywhere from 5 to 20 inches of rain across parts of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and northwest Florida. Then the storm's expected to weaken on next Wednesday night. Of course, that tornadoes are also possible. We'll be watching this storm and let you know anything new that we learn about it. Well, an update on that federal corruption case in the Pritchard, Alabama Police Department. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch says that the department's evidence room is apparently the most disorganized that he has ever seen, with sexual assault kits stacked on the floor, unlabeled guns tossed in buckets and desk drawers, long guns lying on the floor, apparently next to a toilet. Birch says it could take up to 6 months for his deputies to catalog everything. Pritchard officers are not allowed inside that building during that time. The sheriff estimates that overtime alone from Tuesday cost his department tens of thousands of dollars. Arrested officer Emmanuel Dodge appears in federal court later today. Well, the city of Milton and Pensacola and the Pensacola Perdido Bay's Estuary Program are hosting a public open house next Wednesday. They're hoping to share research on environmental health and the future of Carpenters Park. The event will run from 5 to 7 at Milton City Hall. On Dixon Street, UWF researchers and project partners will be presenting findings on water quality, habitat conditions, and historical ecology along the Blackwater River watershed. Residents are encouraged to attend and learn more about future restoration opportunities at that park. Federal prosecutors in North Florida have indicted 8 previously deported individuals on illegal reentry charges, with cases spanning Okaloosa and Santa Rosa County. The defendants are from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. Several had been deported multiple times before returning. 4 of those 8 have already pleaded guilty and are scheduled for sentencing today in Pensacola. The maximum penalty for illegal reentry after deportation is 2 years in prison. Well, Hancock Whitney Bank has been named one of the best banks in America by Forbes. Northwest Florida Market President Bruce Friedenberg says the recognition reflects the way the bank approaches risk with its customers' money.
Obviously, we are, dealing with other people's money, because we, as everyone knows, you take your depositors, you use those dollars to put out in the community as investments, and with that comes risk. And so it's just being recognized, by Forbes is an indication that, we're doing a good job with all that.
Hancock Whitney's been in the Pensacola market since 2006, entering as a de novo operation without acquiring an existing bank and growing organically since. The 130-year-old Gulf South Bank was formed when Hancock Bank and Whitney Bank combined in 2010. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 79 degrees with cloudy skies and a little bit rainy today. Let's get a check on our forecast.
We are going to be looking at a high chance of rain today, showers and thunderstorms. There's a threat of severe weather as you head into your afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 82 degrees. Going into your Friday, another high chance of showers and thunderstorms, 90% chance of rain, high near 87. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Saturday, we will have a 60% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 79 degrees, cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Nippon Steel officials say they expect the American market to remain buoyant, supported by import tariffs and resilient demand, which could lift earnings at U.S. Steel beyond current forecasts. Vice Chairman Takahiro Mori said he is confident U.S. Steel will be able to post profits more than $624 million this year. And more from the steelmaker, Nippon Steel said it has seen positive results from efforts to improve operations at U.S. Steel 1 year after its acquisition, but is not yet satisfied with the pace of reforms. The Nikkei newspaper reports that Nippon Steel has identified 260 areas for improvement at U.S. Steel and was introducing its manufacturing know-how to improve production efficiency. Google's Vice President of Engineering and co-lead of its Gemini AI models, Noam Shazir, has announced that he is leaving the company to join OpenAI. Shazir's departure comes less than 2 years after he returned to Google. Futures are moderately higher after the Fed hints at a possible rate hike sometime this year. That's your money now.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems. At FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL, working for you every single day.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have y'all with us today. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Lots of big stuff going on in the city. First thing, obviously, the biggest thing is the resident satisfaction survey that came out. I know you have your takeaways. You've studied it in depth. I surveyed it. I wouldn't say that I'm any kind of an expert on it. I kind of, you know, looked over it a little bit. I think the top line takeaway that some people have focused on is the small decrease in overall right direction. It was 67% in 2023. It was 70% in 2024. Now it's at 66% in 2025. To me, those are margin of error shifts, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know I got a chuckle out of the report of a decrease. You know, listen, at the end of the day, 2/3, give or take. And a lot of it depends on when you take it. If we took it right after a monumental event in the city, it's going to go up. And if you took it right, you know, if you went into the field during something that was a struggle or a snowstorm or a hurricane, and you said, what's the direction of the city? It's going to go down, right? So I absolutely agree that what we're focused on, the fact is in 2007, 28% of our community thought we were going in the right direction. And in 2000, mid-2010s, not even 50% thought. So the idea that we've been able to sustain that 2/3, do you know how many mayors or how many city councils would love the idea that 2/3 of their entire population think that they're going in the right direction? That's a very, very good bar to be at right now, especially when you look at in a not so distant past that we couldn't even get 30% of people to say that Pensacola is going in the right direction. So, and that's not just the mayor's office or the city council. That's many people out in the community that have really helped make that happen. You know, from investment to nonprofits to so many other folks, to media. I mean, just all the different factors that make our city great that we know is doing so well. And so we're certainly proud of that.
And it's, you know, this is not a knock on the Haas Center in any way. It's just, it's hard to know how much to attach a general sentiment expression like that to the functioning of the city of Pensacola, because as you say, you have volunteer organizations that make the quality of life what it is. You have, non-city government functions, whether it's ECUA or whether it's, you know, providing water or whether it's the county or, you know, the sheriff. There's, and of course, people are not typically all that savvy about distinguishing, well, I'm going to blame the state for that and I'm going to bless the city for, you know,
right.
it's are you happy with how things are going number? And a lot of things that are outside of your control, and a lot of things that are within your control fall within that. But as you say, sustained at 2/3 is a pretty good mark. Other takeaways from the survey for you?
Yeah. To elaborate on that, I think it goes to your, I agree with you. And I think those points balance out, right? Because the city's going to take some blame for an FDOT road, for example.
Right.
And that's going to say we're not going in the right direction, just as something that had nothing to do with the city might be looked upon positively and say, hey, things are going in the right direction. So,
wait at McGuire's is too long, or the wait to get to the beach is too long, or what, you know, like it's all of those things packed in. I haven't seen enough of my favorite bands lately. It's just, it's a little bit nebulous as a metric, but as long as the metric is consistent, then we can maybe
read
something.
But I would say, I would argue this, if we were the most crime ridden city in the state of Florida or in the country, if we were on major issues that our citizens care about, there's no scenario of which we would be absolutely failing in any of those, and you would see a number like 66%. You just wouldn't. I mean, right. So on those major issues. So that, you know, we should always be looking to improve. I can think of 15 things I wish we could be doing better, or I hope to be doing better in the next year, right? That we're always striving for excellence. But I think if there were major catastrophic issues happening in the city, there's no way that it would be, oh, yes, we're going to say 66% are going in the right direction, yet we have this major public safety issue or major trust or issue or something like that.
I did think it was interesting to note that the access to the waterfront is the most people said that was their favorite thing about living in the city of Pensacola. You know, that I thought that was fascinating as an, you know, then the cost of living was number two.
It's actually been multiple years it's been doing that. And that's why we focus on the Sun Trail. Like there was the survey with landscaping and amenities last night. That's why we focus on Palo Fox Street. So it's kind of interesting when you want to come at that conversation, or some folks that might be critics of those say it's about downtown. We're just reading what the polls are telling us, and that's not a new thing this year. If you go back and look multiple years, one of the things that people love the most is that they get to access the waterfront. They can see it. They can experience it. That's why Bruce Beach happens. That's why Sun Trail happens. That's why. And so those are amenities for everybody. It's not only people who live within 0.1 miles of that. And we went down and surveyed who's using them. It's people from all over the city and visitors and everything else. So that's why I think placemaking economic development is important, is that you got to look beyond just the surrounding neighborhood and say, who are these amenities for? And it's really for everybody in the city. And you can see it through that data point right there.
We found out something in the city council meeting, or maybe it was the CRA. I think it was the council meeting. Anyway, because they were moving funds around. The two meetings are back to back, and I listened to them both. I think it was Amy Tootle was given the brief to the city about how, or to the city council about how the two-waying of Martin Luther King Boulevard is just not going to happen anymore because FDOT decided that they weren't interested. They wanted to do a roundabout. They wanted to give us possession of the road. They Chinese inspectioned us on the information we needed to get going. What happened here?
Yeah, it's a relatively recent development, and I probably wouldn't go as far as anything. FDOT, we have a great relationship with, and sometimes we agree on things, and sometimes we disagree on things.
Okay.
If you just saw the docket that we have with FDOT, you can't really isolate decisions to one particular issue because there are dozens and dozens of issues. Just a little trivia question to prove that point. The city only possesses one bridge in the entire city limits. Every other bridge structure is possessed by FDOT. Do you know how expensive that would be for us to maintain? So in other words, our relationship is so intertwined on a daily basis about everything that we do. And so, yes, this was something that they looked at the numbers, and I have to give Commissioner May credit. You know, we hustled up, and our council, we hustled up $600,000, which was the additional need for the design of the two-way. And then we were going to kind of kick the can to say, all right, well, if FDOT can find the funding. Well, ultimately, they said, hey, we're not comfortable moving ahead with this design because we don't see on the horizon this funding becoming a reality. So if you want to do it, you would have to find the $6 million. You would have to then take over and maintain the road, which is, as you can imagine, not a very smart decision right now amongst property tax conversation.
Right.
And so it basically set the table to say, hey, this isn't really a reality for us. So, you know, unfortunately, it's something that this is a conversation that started well before me.
Oh, yeah.
This has been going, I think,
at least since Grover. Yeah.
So generally speaking, I would support two-waying it to slow that traffic down. Sometimes the chips don't fall the way that you want them to. And then we do the best we can and move on to the next project.
Burdon is going to Triumph for what? The second round of their presentation there?
That's right. Yeah, it's the term sheet round. We're going to go this month. I believe the meeting's over in Panama City. So we're very, very excited for that. Obviously, lots of work happening in the background to get down to terms and how rent's going to work and how long and how many jobs and all of those different things. And adding to the complexity is it's really a three-way negotiation. You've got three parties. You have Triumph, you have the city, and you have Burdon. And everybody's kind of got to agree on everything. So that took some time, probably maybe a month longer than we had hoped. Nonetheless, we're still blowing and going, and you go three total rounds ultimately to Triumph. But this is we've already been once successfully, and now we get to finish out these last two.
And for people who may not know, this is the project out at the port. It would be up to what 2,500 jobs, is my memory. If it comes to fruition, is that right?
2,000 jobs, average salary, 80,000. They would be the largest employer in the city at full steam.
Yeah.
And what we're most excited, what does that mean for us? What it means for us is $160 million of annual payroll coming into our city, being spent at our grocery stores, at our restaurants, supporting our families, not just in the city, but across the region. And so this is a major, major impact project for us. And we're very, very excited to see this come to fruition.
I remember there was all this drama over the Baptist redevelopment plan and the Bayou District and all of that. And of course,
right.
Delarian Wiggins, who is the chairman of the CRA, and also it's his district, and basically put the kibosh on that, I thought very mistakenly, because I thought they were a good opportunity. And your office kind of has said since then, well, okay, if you don't want that, then you come back to us with something. Well, they've come back to us, right? We're going to get a vote on but it's not a full plan. It's a kind of a half step, and then we'll figure out the rest later. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, to be frank, it's right around the exact same RFP we had 10 months ago.
Okay.
There's maybe some nuance to it, and I certainly support Larry. What I said at the failed vote in October is say, hey, listen, we've given it our best shot, and if Councilman Wiggins had some concerns over any particular issues. I mean, I think, you know, we have a great working relationship. I think it's his opportunity to go in and do it the way that he believes most voices his constituents. And I have that level of trust with him to say, okay, great. If there was something about this process that you didn't agree with, and I don't know that he said that, you know, that it's one tangible issue, but nonetheless, then let's run out there and get it done. So Cliff Collins, we've certainly been supporting Councilman Wiggins' effort in that with our staff up on the seventh floor to be able to help move this thing forward. So, you know, listen, the best case, it's kind of the old saying, you know, best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, second best time is today. I would have loved to have already been starting community engagement 10 months ago, but that's water under the bridge at this point. So you know, bottom line is I really want to get community engagement started because our goal was to not be staring at an empty piece of property while we were asking the community what they want to see. So this is strictly community engagement, really the same way it was last time. It was not for development services last time either. And so we'll see how this goes, and I certainly hope it's successful.
The Fricker Center was supposed to have a groundbreaking today, but that's going to be pushed back because of rain, basically. Is that the concern?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to move it to the 26th at 9:30 in the morning next Friday.
We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to ask you, because we talked to David Stafford last week. You came back from going to the United States Conference of Mayors meeting. You've been appointed to the Board of Trustees there, which is a pretty high honor, especially for a town of our size. Comment, thoughts?
Yeah, you know, obviously an honor to be basically one of 15, the president, two vice presidents, and the 12 trustees representing every mayor in the United States. So certainly grateful. And, you know, that probably is a big compliment to get that from your peers, from your colleagues, bipartisan. There's all Republicans and Democrats. So that was a great honor and excited for that. And that really just means more opportunity to be at the table for Pensacola when all of these policy discussions happen, advocacy discussions happen. And so I'm really excited for our city as well. And I'll give you one anecdote from the meeting. Why these meetings matter and why these relationships matter is I was chairing the Jobs Education Workforce Committee meeting, and we had somebody from the Department of Labor there, and I said, hey, we've got this big shipbuilding project, and he's like, hey, please make sure we're clued in. So, I mean, we'll have somebody federally from the Department of Labor come into a workshop with Bird on, with ST Engineering, with all that, and they have significant funding streams to be able to help build the workforce. Well, that meeting probably doesn't happen, and maybe it's only a cold email from Little Pensacola, Florida, to the Department of Labor. Well, how that dynamic just changed because of that warm welcome and that connection that you make when you're there. So that's just one little anecdote of a takeaway of why these things matter and why going to these things and being involved in them help you really build relationships that lead to good things for Pensacola.
I've always said the same thing about Leadership Pensacola. The information I got was great, but the friendships I made have been vital in everything that I've been able to do since then. And that is that networking, connecting, relationships, knowing people, having their phone numbers and all that stuff. I mean, that's a vital thing to make stuff happen. Well, I would like to end with a lightning round, Mr. Mayor. I know you used to do sports reporting. Do you have a least favorite sport to watch?
Ooh, man. I mean, are you picking on soccer right now? I actually kind of like it.
You're the one who said it. Yeah, I didn't bring it up.
I'm an equal opportunity. You know, I'm just a blind advocate. I'm trying to think of anything.
All right, you like watching them all.
I would say, how about this? Hockey on TV.
Thank you.
Not
yes.
Interesting to me.
It's impossible to follow.
Now,
you can't see the
shout out Ice Flyers. Hockey in person. I think it's very, very fun.
Totally different. Do you wash out your garbage cans either inside your house or the ones outside that you put out to the curb?
It's an election year, so I'm going to say every week I have a structured.
The mayor admits he wastes water. See, everything can be spun the wrong way, right?
I guess my political answer is probably not as often as I should.
Oh, there you go. All right. And then the last one, what are the hours during which it is okay to mow your lawn, use a leaf blower, use a chainsaw, whatever? What are the hours in the AM you can start and the hours in the PM when you should stop?
Well, I think the heat is what it's not rule. It's not ethics. I think it's heat that stops you. You shouldn't be out there, you know, past like 11 or noon. But I mean, I think the common courtesy is like 8 a.m.
8 a.m. And then what about at night? How late at night?
Well, again, I feel like you get giving somebody some dusk is okay. I'll say 7 p.m. Is that maybe 8? I don't know.
Okay.
If it's still daylight outside, yeah, I think I'm all right with that.
All right, fair enough. We had an event in Milton. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day. That's why I ask. Mayor D.C. Reed, is always a pleasure, so we look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Like everything in an election year, you cannot win. There's no right answer. On the washing out the cans. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. We're watching this post-tropical cyclone. That means it used to be a storm. They just say it in fancy language. Arthur, which is right now pretty hefty, right over eastern Louisiana, New Orleans, kind of central Louisiana too. It kind of does look a little bit like the hurricane shape, sort of vaguely. It's spinning a little bit. We might catch the what would otherwise be described as the outer bands, but that means rain for us. Looks to me like it's going to be moving towards Montgomery or Birmingham, the center of it, if you can really say there's a center. So just expect rain throughout the day. That's the short takeaway. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection, good quality used cars. And, you know, if you decide to go to, like, you know, Jim Bob's Corner Lot, okay, and they show you a car and you like it, but they don't give you a Carfax, which is, by the way, not the end-all be-all of used car information. Carfax doesn't have everything. It depends on how much people report. But, you know, it's a good start, okay? And, of course, at Frontier, you get a Carfax included. They give you a price sheet with Carfax attached to it. I mean, easy. But if somebody doesn't, then just call them with the VIN, and they'll give you a Carfax for free. No big deal. You say, why would they do that? Well, just because they want you to be able to be informed. That's it. Just to help. It's just, I mean, it's a little thing. It's a small thing, but it's something they can do to help you be informed. By the way, what I recommend is, you know, either get a good warranty, like at Frontier, 10 years or 100,000 miles, or be sure to go to a good, you know, mechanic and get a used vehicle inspection if you're buying it from somebody. Because trust me, I have seen what can happen if you do not do that. In any case, Frontier, they're just there for you. They're there to be reliable. They've been around for 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel live Friday mornings at 9 a.m. and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Bit of a traffic note. The where was I gonna go? Nope. I thought I had it and I do not have it. Sorry. All right. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, or sometimes not informative whatsoever. Oh, my favorite story from yesterday. This is the best. Did you see the story about Boston, John?
No, what about Boston?
Okay, so, you know, Boston, I think, is one of the host cities for the World Cup, and they have, you know, the Scots are in town, so, you know,
right.
Boston's Irish, Scotland's in town, so there's a bit of a, you know, I sort of agree they dress the same, right? But guilt's up. Anyway, so what cracked me up is that the Sam Adams Tap Room ran out of beer. Because apparently the Scottish football fans, soccer fans, drank three times as much beer as any of the local Irish Bostonians have ever drunk ever. So they ran a couple of different bars dry.
Local news.
What an insult to Boston, man.